Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with your over-under game. Just head on over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
I'm Joe DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 150. Hooray! Everyone cheer and do noisemakers and stuff. Not only is this episode 150, it's a bonus episode, our first bonus episode. First of all, one episode a week wasn't enough for you hardcore degens, so then we started doing two episodes a week. Apparently that's not enough either, so here we are with episode 3 this week. Because UFC is running a tournament, and we all love tournaments, and it's a prospect tournament. It's kind of like Dana White's Contender Series, which my co-host made everyone a buttload of money on last year. So we're going to expect the same from him on this outing here. So we're going to jump right into that and ram that down into your eardrums. Who am I, you ask? I am Jeff Meme Machine Fox, and I will be one of your hosts on this year podcast. I don't know hardly any of these fighters, so I will be the setup man as per usual. And Gumby, who somehow knows everything about 18 of these 20 fighters and how to look up stuff on two of them, somehow he knows everyone that's ever fought in MMA, probably in other sports as well, but nonetheless, let's bring him in. There's a reason why he's called the Gumby God. It's not just he gets the underdog picks, because he loves him some underdogs, but he's a god when it comes to making people money on prospect fights. So let's bring him in right now, Daniel Gumby God Vreeland. Hello.
I believe on the end of the last episode, which we taped a whole 3 minutes ago, yes. I believe I said I had to look up three people. There were three people I didn't know. I hate to let you guys down, but I only knew 17 of these 20.
Oh, really? You lied to everyone, Dan.
No, I said I missed three. You changed it to two. I will also say that the highlight of this episode for me, the thing I'm the most excited about, do you know what it is?
Juvenile humor, like making laughing about the last name Nutson. Is that the
funny thing about it? No,
it's kind of like that. It's me pronouncing things.
It's gonna be you saying names. Yeah, it's gonna be so damn good. Ye damn so good.
Yes, no kidding. All right. Should we jump into it, Dan? Anything new since we talked 5 minutes ago?
No. I mean, go back and listen to episode 149 of the MMA Gambling Podcast if you didn't already. And I don't even know if you mentioned this on the last episode, but follow the SGPN.
Oh, I didn't. Yes.
MMA specific Twitter account, which is SGPN MMA at SGPN MMA, which is the MMA Gambling Podcast's special Twitter account. So make sure you follow that, especially if we're going to make you a buttload of money on the Fridays Road to the UFC 3 and Road to the UFC 4 fight cards.
Very correct. Yes. Dan's putting a lot of good stuff on there. Even video of me is on there. So definitely get in on that. And you're making a big TV debut tonight, are you not, Mr. Vreeland?
That's not tonight. That tomorrow is night. Tomorrow night. It's coming. And actually, based on what we could do or what we're talking about for time zones, it's technically Friday morning, depending that's on true. What time zone you're in.
So we will let you know. Maybe Dan will have clips of himself on there too. So we're not just a audio medium at this point. We're taking over everything. So, all right. Like I said, we have some row two fights, prospect fights on this year weekend. Actually, one's going to start depending on when you're listening to this too. Maybe over already, or maybe starting in a couple hours. So we're recording this Wednesday night on the East Coast, and it's taking place starting in a few hours in Singapore. They're calling it. They have four different fight cards, but they're breaking it down over two nights, and it's an actual tournament except for the one woman's fight, right?
Am I right? Yeah. So you know, if you take the four fight cards together, they all compile a tournament. So the first fight card we're going to talk about actually has one fight from four different tournaments. It's got a 25 fight, a 35 fight, a 45 fight, and a 55 fight. So none of these fighters will fight each other in the second round. And then of course it's got, like you said, a women's strawweight fight, which is, it's a weird thing to add in there.
Yeah, I didn't really clue in, and that was the only female fight until someone mentioned it on the Top Tournament MMA podcast. So more on that in a second. And then they have not announced when the semifinals and final rounds of this will take place. It just says TBD, TBA. So venue to be named later and date to be named later. So it's called Road to UFC Singapore is what this is. Before we hop
I'm
into
a little,
it,
me, I'm a little bit worried, by the way, before we get to I'm a little bit worried. Right, like, is it weird that we don't have a semifinal planned for this? Because I'm imagining it's not going to be easy to get a whole bunch of people off of one continent and have them fight on a different continent, unless we're going to do this in Abu Dhabi when they come around in September, right? Like it's September, October, they're planning an Abu Dhabi event. Maybe that, but like, it seems weird that we have a whole bunch of people from one continent and we're going to not plan on going back to it, but plan on having them all fight again.
It is very Bellator-esque, is it not?
I hope not. Like, let's finish our tournament. Let's finish our tournaments.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. But first, before we get into this, Win. We're going to tell you about Win. Make sure to get down on the wins. Bet $50, win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets, plus the ultimate fantasy football experience. Bet $500 plus on sports or casino before July 31st of this year and get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Multiple entries are allowed. Plus, you can party with DJ Diesel. All users can bet $100 on NBA or casino and be entered into a prize drawing to attend a DJ Diesel, a.k.a. Shaquille O'Neal, performance at Encore Beach Club at night, as well as a meet and greet with DJ Diesel this summer. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WYNNBET.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where a playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now we move on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I do, as does the SGPN gents. It's a game-changing product, and like anything else in the industry, and now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from two times to over 20 times the money you put in. My reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests, if I had buddies, and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money. Dan, do you have more Sleeper picks a few minutes later?
I told you JT Brubaker is terrible. So, in the last episode, if you want to go all the way back like 6 minutes, I told you to take the Dansby Swanson in the Austin Riley overs. While you're at it, why don't you get the Ronald Acuna over in the Max Fried strikeout total? Because, you know, the Pirates strike out a fair amount too. So, I'll take the over on Max Fried strikeouts and the over on Ronald Acuna's hits as well.
There you go. More Braves. This is very Brave-centric picks always. Here's what you got to do with those picks. Go on your own mobile phone. Join our listener group on Sleeper. That would be sleeper.com/SG. SGPN NBA, for example, or SGPN MLB, if you're into that one, or just check the SGPN stuff on there. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. So that's what you do. Join our listener group, sleeper.com. Actually, just here's what you do. I read the wrong part. Go to sleeper.com/SGP. Just do that part, SGP. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. This is what happens when we record more than one podcast a day, Dan. I don't know how you do it, but somehow Dan does 10 a day. Correct?
Not quite 10 a day, but roughly that many, yeah.
All right, we return to Klang, Singapore. The Singapore Indoor Stadium is where this is going down. Like I said, we are doing the second night Friday, Friday morning / Thursday night. Technically, it's on the East Coast, it's Friday at 2:30 a.m. So Thursday at 2:30 a.m., Friday at 2:30 a.m., however you want to think of that. Overnight is when it's happening. And it's on UFC Fight Pass. It's called Road to UFC. We got five fights. We got John Gooden and Laura Sanko doing the calls there. So that's a positive right there. All right.
That's awesome. That's fucking amazing. That's like one of the best commentary teams I've ever heard
of. Assuming Tapology is not lying to us, which they don't usually. So, all right. So these sites have things backwards. All right. We're going to start with featherweight fight. Jiang Li versus Zhai Bing. How did I do there? Butchered him pretty good.
Not bad. No, not bad.
All right. Lee is the Korean Tiger. So I take it he's from Korea. He's 7-1, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. Plus 125. Bin is the Stalker. Scary. He's 8-3, 1 knockout, 4 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 0-1 the Contender Series. He's won 4 straight fights. Last one via knockout. He's not fought since September of 2019. He's already fought in the biggest organization in the world. So I don't know why he's slumming it in the UFC. But he was 8-2 in one championship. Used to fight at lightweight, 3 years younger than Lee, minus 155.
So what I can tell you about these two, first of all, is that Jung Young Lee, is a guy who is literally just trying to get in the pocket and throw the most wild punches he possibly can. He just wants to unload and just be as crazy as he can. Bin She is a Contender Series veteran. You might remember him having lost to Olivier Mourad. He lost by split decision in a fight where I probably scored it for Mourad, but it was really close. One of the things he does really well is he ducks under people's wild strikes incredibly well. He sort of has some nice things he does on the feet, but mostly he doesn't put them together really well. He's got some finishes from the top, but he doesn't really create openings. He's kind of just the kind of guy who, like, if you make a mistake when he's on top of you, he takes advantage and finishes. He doesn't, like, set you up for him. But with all that being said, he's a guy who ducks under wild shots. I think that plays really well against Jung Young Lee, so I'm going to take Bin She here.
All right. Chalky Dan with that pick. All right, we move on to flyweights. Yuma Horiuchi versus Topnoi Kiram. So Topnoi being the gym he fights out of is one of those things where they take the gym's name over in, is he from Thailand? I'm guessing.
I believe Topnoi Kiram is from Thailand, yes.
Okay, all right, I'll tell you about him first. He is 7-3 with 5 knockouts, been knocked out once. He's 1-2, won his last fight. Sorry, he's 1-1 over his last 3. 1-2 over his last 3. However, his last fight was a win. That was back in September 2020, though. He's an inch taller than Horiuchi, plus 275. Horiuchi, 8-3, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. He's won 2 of his last 5. He's gone win-loss-win over his last 3. 5 years younger than Topnoi, minus 350.
So first of all, I would say I don't know that Topnoi Kiram is one of those guys who is named after his gym, because doesn't he fight out of Bangtan Muay Thai, which is the Hickman brothers So like I don't think he's one of those guys. I could be wrong. But that being said, I'm taking Yuma Horiuchi here. I'm all over Yuma Horiuchi here. He is a guy who has had super high level competition. He's got split decision losses to Ludovic Shaolinian in the UFC and Charles Johnson. Just signed to the UFC. He armbarred Donovan Freelo, who is on Contender Series. He puts together really nice pressure, really great leg kicks. I don't always like his striking defense, but everything else looks really good. And with a guy like Topnoi Kiram, he's a guy who is a lot of times looking for the clinch, but like when he's up against the cage, it doesn't look particularly good offensively in that clinch. And I think that that serves him very poorly against Yuma Horiuchi. It's worth noting he also has high-level competition. He fought Kaio Sakara, who is, you know, not a lot of people know the name Kaio Sakara, but he is, you know, like an absolute beast out of Ryzen who fought Manel Capp. As a matter of fact, I think he beat Manel Capp, if I'm remembering correctly, about Kaio Sakara. I think they went 1-1, to be completely honest. But, you know, like still... certainly nothing to be ashamed of. And he beat Koji Horiguchi too, which is worth noting. So, yeah, like I like Top Noi, but I think ultimately he just gets in too many clinches here against the guy who's able to take him down. So, again, you know, second fight in a row here. I'm going to take Chalk. I'm going to take my guy, Yuma Horiuchi.
All right. There we go. Chalky, chalky, chalky. All right. Moving on to lightweights. Anshul Jubilee versus Sho Patrick Usami. Let me tell you about Usami first. 4-1 with 1-3 knockouts. Never been finished in a fight. Lost his last fight after winning his first four, plus 105. Jubilee is king of the lions. He's 5-0 with 1 knockout, 1 submission. He won via submission his last fight, minus 135.
I'm going to take Usami. I think Sho Usami has absolutely incredible boxing speed. And as a matter of fact, if you're looking through highlights of him, which he's one of the ones I actually had to look up, I found a whole bunch of amateur boxing career. Like he had a long-standing amateur boxing career, which explains why in the fights I've seen of him, he is so fast with his hands. You know, like and you have him here as a slight underdog against Jubilee because Jubilee is a pretty decent wrestler. Most of his wrestling is like Greco style. He gets takedowns with body locks and like in he uses a lot of inside trips, which you don't see a lot in MMA. You see a lot of outside trips, but not a lot of inside trips. So like he uses a lot of inside trips. And sure, that could probably give a boxer trouble. But the beauty is here is I think the boxer has more power, the ability to keep distance and it's not like Jubilee is going to like shoot on his legs. Instead, he's trying to like tie him up and then get the takedown from there. So I think Usami stays away from that enough that he should be able to win this fight with his hands pretty easily.
All right, there you go. Some plus money for y'all. Bantamweights, Rina Nakamura versus Guggen Guzman. That's a good name. Guggen Guzman. Do you remember Juan Guzman, Dan?
Juan Guzman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did he play for Atlanta also? He played for the Jays. Did he play for Atlanta too?
I'm thinking he was a Twin for a little while after he was a Jay. Right. I don't remember him on the Braves.
He had the soul aglow back in the day. That's for sure. He had some amazing hair. All right. Guzman, 8-3, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions, been submitted twice. He's won 2 straight fights. Was a regional champion. Plus 400. Nakamura, 4-0 with 3 knockouts. He is a champion wrestler. 5 years younger than Guzman, minus 600.
Yeah, and I think saying he's a champion wrestler, almost an understatement. He was an under 23 world champion.
Pretty good.
Yeah, decent. And he was sort of like, I'm not going to say he was going to make the Olympics. I don't know enough about Olympic wrestling to really say that. But like he was on pace to really push for an Olympic spot at the 2020 Olympics. And when the pandemic kind of like took wrestling off the table for the next Olympics, I mean, it didn't take it off the table, but it like pushed everything back. He was like, F this, I'm going to go do MMA. And it's looked really good since doing that. His chain wrestling is incredible. And in addition to that, you know, you hear he's a wrestling champion. I watched him head kick a dude in shooto one time, dude, and just leaves the dude cold. So like he's also got the striking aspect of it. I don't really have all that much good to say about Guggen Guzman, like other than like his cardio seemed really good. But like he gets pressed against the cage really easy and against a guy who's got great chain wrestling and is a, you know, world-class athlete. I think Nakamura is going to absolutely murder him. There's a reason this line is so wide. And hey, why don't we talk about another line that is even wider?
All right. There's a segue right into, we're ripping through these, right into the main event. Women's strawweight, Josephine Lindgren Knutsen, but Dan likes to say Knutsen, correct?
It's Knutsen. That's how you say it. Yeah, it's Knutsen.
All right, Knutsen. She was on the Top Turtle podcast this week. Make sure you listen to that. Good interview. She's a good interview. I'm very interesting. She fights at All Stars with all the big names you may have heard from there, like Alexander Gustafsson and that guy that everyone loves right now.
Kamza.
Yeah, that guy. Kamza.
And she also name dropped Ilir Latifi.
Yep. I think you name dropped him actually first.
No, she mentioned him quickly. She just called him Ilir though, and not like the full name because they're on a first name basis.
Yeah, because they're buds. Anyhow, she's fighting MMA against Seo Yi Dam in the main event on this contender series Road 2. Fight. This is the lone female fight, right? This is the only one on all four cards.
On all four cards, you're only going to see one woman's fight, and it's Josephine Nadsen and Yi DMCO. All
right, let's tell you about CO first. 6-2, one knockout, 3 submissions. Been knocked out once. She's won 4 straight fights. However, has not fought since December of 2019. She's an inch taller than Nutsen +500. Nutsen's nickname, Little Thunder. You can hear about her getting her nickname on the Top Turtle MMA podcast. She's 3-0 in MMA with one knockout. She's a kickboxing champ, a Muay Thai champ. She's 4 years younger, -800.
She is so good. Like, dude, like, just go watch one of her fights. And you can watch her in kickboxing. Because she, you know, you're saying she's a, you know, crazy good kickboxer. She fought some incredible kickboxers. She fought Kana, who's, like, a damn good kickboxer in her own right. And granted, she didn't beat Kana, but, like, she was competitive with her. And in addition to that, like, since coming to MMA, she just stuffs takedowns and knees people in the stomach, and that's, like, what she does. Yi DMCO is so slow on the feet. She's really slow on the feet. What she does to try to get her takedowns is just bull rush you. I don't think that's good enough to fight Nutsen, so I think Nutsen is just going to absolutely demolish her here. It's interesting because since this one isn't a tournament, you almost wonder if this is just the UFC being like, oh, can Nutsen deal if somebody bull rushes her? And if so, like, we'll just sign her right now. Like, almost like a contender series bout.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what happens here. I think she gets a big finish and a big contract. So she is for sure one to keep an eye on. And I would say, while we don't typically bet this, it's strawweight. If your book is offering prop bets on, you know, 2:30 a.m. fights in Singapore, get a finish prop for Josephine Nutsen. I think she gets it done with a finish.
Seems like she could be a favorite of our podcast if she makes it into the UFC.
I think so. I think she's going to be a favorite of the Slack. Shout out to all the guys in the Slack who are usually up watching fights at absurd hours. But, like, she is so fun to watch. Like, I'm just tipping you off right now to it. Like, go watch her fight on the road to UFC because I think it's going to be a blast.
You know Jong will, because Jong never sleeps. Everyone knows Jong never sleeps. All right. There you go. We ripped through a card for you already. Dan got you some plus money. And then a couple, the opposite of plus money, but that's okay. A win is a win. That's all we're going for here. All right. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all of those things. And it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And when you're doing that, make sure you're using IP Vanished. Do you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanished VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanished helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like 89 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. It's ipvanish.com/SGP. All right, on to card number episode 4 on Road to the UFC. It will be going down tomorrow night as well. let me call up the page for it, shall I, on the lovely Tapology that we like to use here. I take it episode 4 is going to air after episode 3, and I am correct. So it is Friday, early Friday morning, 5:30 a.m. Eastern on the East Coast. Once again, Five Fights, John Gooden, Laura Sanko, Singapore, Indoor Stadium, yada, yada, yada. We will start with some big guys for this tournament. Welter weights. John Adejar versus Han Seol Kim. Close to Han Solo. Or is this the main event? Is this main event, or is this the... See, these cards are flipped on a lot of places. Let me see. We'll go with Tapology, I take, because they're never wrong, right?
Yeah, I have no idea what order these fights are coming in.
Right,
but,
Dan?
But sure, let's go with Adejar and yeah. Kim first.
It probably doesn't matter. Let's go, because that's what they have on Tapology. All right. Adejar is a outlaw. He's 6-1 with 5 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. Won 5 straight fights, his last 2 via TKO. He's not fought since April 2019. He's a regional champ, 6 years younger than Kim, plus 105. Kim is 12-4 with 7 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice. He also is a regional champ, 2 inches taller, minus 135.
Yeah, on this one, I'm going to go with Han Seol Kim. I think Adejar, what I've seen from him, he just doesn't seem very powerful. And in most of the fights I've seen, he's like willing to just like be in bad positions in the clinch. I think Kim is a big swinger. I don't think he's all that good. Like I'm, you know, while this is another one of those fights that like isn't technically in a tournament, I don't really have high promise for either of these two, although Kim might impress by just like knocking somebody out by throwing wild punches. But yeah, like I think he's good enough to be an Adejar here, so I'll take Kim.
There you go. We go drop all the way down to flyweights. Hyun Sung Park versus Jeremiah Sirigar.
Yeah, you got it. Look at you.
Yay! He's the teacher, is his nickname, Sirigar, that would be. 6-2 with 3 knockouts, 3 submissions, so everything's a finish for him, and he's been finished in every fight. But knocked out once, submitted once, so he's hasn't gone the distance, according to my math. Won his last 2 fights, of course, via finish. Is a regional champ, plus 220. Who's he fighting again? He's fighting Park. He's 5-0, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. So he's gone to the distance once. He's regional champ as well, 4 inches taller than Sirigar, minus 280.
So Sirigar does this weird thing where he just like leaps towards his opponent all the time. Like flying, jumping front kicks and like, you know, jumping jabs, and like he really is explosive and leaps in and out a lot. I don't really like that against Park here, because like Park is a really calculated fighter, at least until he gets to the grappling. For some reason, when he gets to the grappling, he's like the same wild man that Sirigar is. But if it gets there in the first place, I think he's got a massive advantage. So like I think that calculated nature is going to allow him to catch Sirigar off balance, or you know, like out of place a couple of times. And it's going to be enough for Park to sort of win this decision here. So I'm going to go with Park. I will say this is one of the ones I feel less confident about, just because Sirigar is kind of like a little bit too wild for me to get a real good beat on him.
All right. There you go. Moving on to featherweights. Kai Lu versus Anja Hans. Anga Hans.
I believe it's Anga Hans. He's one of the ones I had to look up.
Yeah, Anga Hans. Lou will go first, though. The last gladiator. 7-3 with 1 no contest, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he's a finisher. He's been submitted once. He's won 6 of his last 7, won his last fight via knockout, plus 198. Hans, 13-2, 5 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. Made his MMA debut in 2011, pro debut. Used to fight at lightweight. He's a regional champ, minus 248.
I'm going to go with Kai Lu in this one. I love how light he is on his feet and how good his kicks look. Like he's just like a powerful kicker. I know he seems to be a big underdog, but I think that's in looking at all of these lines, I've noticed that they seem to give anybody with a wrestling base just like automatically the favorite. Like if we went up in the other one, I took the dog in and Show Usami. I like that the boxer is most likely going to light up Jubilee on the feet. Whereas I kind of feel the same way here about Kai Lu. I think Hans is a better wrestler and has got good submissions, but like is very slow when they're striking. And I don't know that the wrestling is like dominant enough to get inside and like regularly take down Kai Lu, who's like a, you know, powerful. And like I said, very good in getting in and out and very fast. And like, so I'm going to take another stab at a dog here. I'm going to take Kai Lu as my underdog.
All righty. Here we go. Here we go. This is more like the Gumby we all know and love. All right. Co-main event. Asa Kirby. Jin and Sabiki. Sure.
Jin and Sabiki. Yeah, but like, yeah. Not bad, though.
versus Kyung Pyo Kim. A Chinese fighter versus a South Korean. And I said this is at lightweight. If I didn't say that, I said it now. We're going to tell you about Kim, nicknamed Red Horse. He's 10-3 with 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once. Won 4 of his last 5 fights. He got knocked out his last fight. Plus 165. Jin and Sabiki, Prairie Hero is his nickname. Wow, that may be one I have to steal, Dan.
Prairie Hero. You might be the Prairie Hero.
That is a fantastic nickname. He's 36-10, 8 knockouts, 11 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 5 times. He's won 11 straight fights. Used to fight at featherweight. Is this one? I thought this one was that. No, this one's at lightweight. Yeah, he's fighting down at featherweight. He's an inch taller than Cam, minus 205 for the Prairie Hero.
Do you want to know the craziest thing about Jin and Sabiki having that many fights, right? Like you quoted, what did you say his record was 33-10? This will be his 44th fight. Dude, he turned pro in 2015. He's only been at it for 7 years to have that many fights. I'm going to go with Jin and Sabiki here. I think what this one ultimately comes down to is the fact that, like, neither of them really like to wrestle and neither of them look very confident when they're wrestling. And like Jin and Sabiki is just like a better boxer. He's like faster. He's stronger. He's got better knockout power. And Kim just like, in what I've seen of Kim, who, you know, I'll be admitted here, like it is the third person I said I hadn't gotten a good look at before. He just looks very slow to me. I'm going to take Jin and Sabiki here. I think the amount of grappling he's going to have to do being minimum is going to help him. It's going to make him feel more confident on the feet. He's going to let it go and win on the hands here.
And he will be our hero, not just a Prairie Hero, if he does that. All right, main event time. Willie G. Buren, the Beastmaster, versus Shohei Nose. Probably his Nose or something, isn't it? It can't just be Nose, can it?
I would guess it's Nose, but Shohei Nose is really funny.
Shohei Nose is way better. All right. And this is at bantamweight. All right. Let me tell you about Shohei's Nose. He's 8-2 with 2 draws there. 8-2-2. 6 submission wins. He's been knocked out once. He's won 4 straight. 3 straight via submission. His last fight was just less than a month ago. May 15th was his last fight. He won via submission, as I said. He's plus 160. Woolie G. Buren, the Beastmaster, 15-8, 3 knockouts, 8 submissions. Been knocked out once. He's 4-1, got knocked out in his last fight. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong one here. He's 4-1. He won via knockout in his last fight. He used to fight at featherweight. He was 0-3 in the UFC, minus 200.
I'm going to take Woolie G. Buren. I think... For a couple of reasons. First of all, it's worth noting Shohei Nose is a fighter who is a decent kickboxer. But the problem with his kickboxing for me is that, like, if you just get in his face and kind of crowd him a little bit, he has a lot of trouble. And I would say, the times he's looked good grappling is mostly against people who are, like, real shitty on the mat. Buren, I know you mentioned that he went 0-3 in the UFC, but I feel like we need to contextualize that a little bit. Like, his losses, two of them, I mean, one was to Rolando Dai, which, maybe not the best loss there. The other two were to Marlon Vera and Jonathan Martinez, who are still in the UFC doing, like, really great things. So I'm not so worried about him in that regard. I would also say he looked pretty good when he tied up with Marlon Vera. And granted, that was, almost 4 years ago at this point. But, like, man, he tied up with him a couple of times, and I think he got the better of some of those exchanges. Fighting a regional Japanese fighter and Shohei Nose, I think Willie G. Buren is going to have a load of advantages here. He should be better technically. And if he wants to crowd Shohei Nose, I think he's just going to have an easy time doing that.
So there you go. Buren is Dan's pick. And this episode is going to be called Shohei's Nose. I've got this one figured out. You have to figure out what the last episode is going to be called, Dan. I'm leaving that in your hands. So you have to remember what we talked about before we recorded this episode. So.
No chance I do. No chance I do that. No chance.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if you carry your weight or not. This episode, I forgot, it was supposed to be dedicated to Gumby because he's been here all 150 episodes, even the ones I've missed. Gumby's been here. So this episode goes out to Gumby. Gumby God is what he's known as now.
Maybe we'll just call it the 149 Gumby God again.
Oh, God. Every episode's going to be Gumby God now. Anything else to say about these cards? I guess we don't really have any props or parlays or anything because who knows if you'll be able to play those, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you'll be able to play them. I will just say, like, you know, the couple of favorites I like on that first card, feel free to stack them all together. I think Yuma Horiuchi, Josephine Knutson, and Rinya Nakamura, I think those three are as close to slam dunks as you're going to get anytime soon. And you stack them all together depending on what the numbers look like come fight time. You might find yourself with even money on those three. And while it might not be the most exciting thing in the world to see three super favorites on that first card, you know, who knows? That's a pretty decent turnaround anyway.
All right. Boom. Bonus episode in the books. I forgot to say this in the last episode, but obviously follow us on Twitter. The podcast Twitter page that Gumby runs is SGPNMMA. My Twitter would be Jeff Fox Writer. His Twitter would be Gumby Vreeland. Listen to his Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. He's got Josephine Knutson. It's pronounced Knutson. And someone from the last card we just talked about.
Steve Garcia.
You didn't say how he got his nickname, though.
Did that in a past interview, so I didn't bring it up again.
All right. Listen to it anyhow. And listen to the Prelim Primer back again this week.
It might be on a little bit of a hiatus. It's on a little bit of a hiatus now.
It didn't happen last week, did it?
Yeah, there's lots of scheduling issues. The problem is I'm just giving you guys so much content here on this feed that I wind up giving less elsewhere. So just enjoy me here more and bonus Gumby, episodes here.
You should have warned me not to mention your deceased podcast, Dan, but you didn't mention it. Oh,
it's not. It's just a break. We're on a break.
That's from that Friends show. I've never seen a full episode of Friends, in case anyone wonders. Just thought I'd put that out there. So, but I know that quote, though.
It's obviously what we're all wondering.
Yes, obviously. Anything else we need to tell people, Dan?
No, I think we got it all.
Reader stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I'll have the UFC stuff up Thursday morning or afternoon and Friday as well. We've got tons of baseball stuff up there and every kind of football you can imagine. NFL, CFL, USBL, USFL, excuse me. NBA playoffs, you know, disc golf, everything you're looking for. So, and Bryce Harper just hit a home run for me in my fantasy league. I just got a notice. So I thought I'd end on that. So, we'll be back on Sunday. We'll recap the road to the UFC. We'll recap the big pay-per-view, see how we did with our picks. Until then, he will remain Gumby God. I will remain Jesus Jeff, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.